Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Thomas was skeptical. He was called Doubting Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas because he said, you guys are saying this, but I will not believe unless I see, unless I touch. And so what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus didn't go, that Thomas, he's going to hell for that. No, he knew Thomas was genuine. He was beaten down. He was tired of putting his emotions into something. We lost the Messiah, man, he's gone. Don't give me hope like that unless it's real. And so he had been hurt by life. He had an honest skepticism.
There seems to be a lot of fake going around these days. Fake news, fake friend requests on social media. People just trying to fake it till you make it. It can be pretty discouraging to try and navigate through all the fakeness going around. And easy to understand why people have such a hard time believing even the truth. In today's message, Pastor Troy encourages us to keep reaching out to those who are genuinely interested in the truth. It may take a lot to get through to them, but it'll be worth it. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 9 as he continues his message, Why Some Just Won't Believe.
But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, Is this your son? Who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So they were actually just afraid to say it was Jesus. They probably heard the story, maybe even said, wow, that's awesome, maybe he is. But when it came to standing before the religious leaders and the potential of losing their rights to go in and be part of the synagogue, they wimped out. They couldn't take the stand. So they said, well, he's of age, ask him. Verse 24, so they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. So another reason some just won't believe is people can be skeptical. They can be skeptical. The Pharisees are not satisfied with the man's personal testimony. They've heard it. They've heard others say this was the guy born blind. He shared what has happened, but there's still a sense of, I don't believe it. So they bring his parents in, and they verify that it's legit. It's a legitimate miracle. And he said, and there are other witnesses, that Jesus did this. They're trying to validate whether this could be from the Lord, whether Jesus could be from the Lord. But it's obvious that they're not interested in really hearing of the truth. First, let me say something about skepticism. It's not an evil trait, skepticism, cautious skepticism. Otherwise, you become what we call gullible. If you have no filter up at all, no, I don't know about that. That doesn't sound reasonable. It makes no logical sense. If you don't have that at all, then anytime someone waves the Bible, it's in the Word. Oh, it's in the Word. Then you're going to believe anything. Doesn't matter. As long as the guy looks good, is behind a pulpit, waves it, and says it's in the Word, you're just going to believe it. And that's not good. We need to check it out for ourselves. If he says it, where is it, mister? Also, there's a way to, you know, you'll see like, it's in the Word. And then they put dot, 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 you know, three words, and then dot, 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 and put the text. See, it's in the Word. But what you don't realize is, yeah, that little short phrase is in the Word, but it's totally out of context. That's not at all what that's talking about. And yet he made it his point. So you have to be very careful. This is why I love to go through the scriptures verse by verse the way that we do. We follow the flow. What is being said? What is happening? What is the context? What are we supposed to get from this or see? So it's okay to be a little skeptical, cautiously skeptical, or I think the Bible would call it discerning. The way to be discerning is to know the scriptures. Then you have a better, a stronger filter with which to discern. But there's a difference in honest skepticism, cautious skepticism, and skepticism motivated by, I'm not budging. I'm not buying in. One has a tinge of hope. One is going, man, that sounds great. It's just hard for me to believe that. How can I believe that? That's good. That's a good place to be. But the other is just stubborn resistance. I'm not changing. I'm not going to be drawn over to that side. In verse 24, we see how closed-minded they had actually become. They basically say to him, hey, don't risk blaspheming God by giving the credit to him. He's a sinner. You give glory to God, son. And the guy responds because they had said, we don't even know, you know, where this guy's from or anything. And the guy says, I don't know if the guy's a sinner or I don't know who he is. All I know is I was blind and now I see. The man did a miracle. That's all I know. And he gives glory to God. When people are skeptical, they don't need argument. They need what this guy just gave them. And then you just got to leave it there. When people are skeptical, they need to see. If they're honestly, cautiously skeptical, then they really need to see. They've heard, but I know the sales pitches. I know someone's selling me on something, so I'm not going to buy. I don't want to be sold. I don't want to be taken advantage of. So what I need to do is I need to see. Over time, they look at your life and they go, you are different. What is it? How did your family get? And then the questions come, and then you can speak into the mind and the heart of the skeptical. Those who really do need to see for a time, perhaps. They just need to see the consistency. Thomas was skeptical. He was called Doubting Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas because he said, you guys are saying this, but I will not believe unless I see, unless I touch. And so what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus didn't go, that Thomas, he's going to hell for that. No, he knew Thomas was genuine. He was beaten down. He was tired of putting his emotions into something. We lost the Messiah, man, he's gone. Don't give me hope like that unless it's real. And so he had been hurt by life. He had an honest skepticism. When the Lord to him appeared and said, Thomas, don't doubt. Don't be unbelieving. He even said, touch me. Said, look at me. Touch me. So some won't believe because they are blinded by ceremony, religion. But others won't believe because they have become skeptical, whether life has made them that way or whatever. If you're genuinely skeptical, that's okay. God will reveal himself to you. Ask him to. Look around. But when you see the Lord, when he begins to speak to your heart, give God glory. Listen. Receive. Verse 26. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Verse 30, the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. Yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who is born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You hear his argument, right? Here's a third reason why some won't be changed. People can be irrational. Irrational. They're not reasonable. It becomes obvious that the Pharisees are not really willing to listen to truth because they keep asking the same questions. And here's what they're doing. All they're trying to do is prove they're right. And their tactic is that of a lawyer, really. You know what a lawyer will do to try to see if there's any holes he can put in the case is he'll ask the question, he'll ask more questions, he'll ask the same question again to see if he can get some inconsistencies. Anywhere in the argument, anywhere, they can poke a hole and go, boom, see? I was right. It's me. Our side is right. And so this man is not from the Lord. So that's all they're trying to do is discredit this man. So the man makes a sarcastic comment. He's tired of being, the man, I just want to celebrate, man. I can see. I just want to rejoice in the Lord. God is good. But he's sitting here getting badgered with questions. So he has this sarcastic comment. He says, why do you keep asking? Do you also want to be his disciple? And they get defensive, obviously. No, you are his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know Moses heard from God, but this man, we don't even know where this guy's from. We don't know anything about this guy. And then the healed man, the man who was healed, says this. He says, you know, you guys are struggling over something trivial. We don't even know where he's from. Okay, do a little research. But all I'm saying is, I'm standing right in front of you right now. I was blind. He did a miracle in the name of God. And I stand before you able to see because of the goodness of God. You still need to know where he used to live? that's where he's coming from. But you know, the truth is, no amount of evidence is going to convince them. None. Because they aren't being reasonable. They're irrational. Here's why. Their priority is trying to figure out how to prove they are right. They're not reasonable. They're not listening to reason. They're not listening to truth. They are only listening through a filter that gives them information to go, you're right. You're right. You're right. And so they can't hear anything.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
You want to consider irrational, look at the world. Look what's going on in the world. There are some things that are so common now, so open, that the world and even the church is embracing certain things that was not embraced. We call it progression. We call it advancing, being more open, tolerant, whatever you might want to call it. But what it is God had drawn a line. We've moved it. And so now we're open to more things. Because we've moved the line, our center of balance is off. And so now, that which is right and true, well, that's just too rigid. That's too hard, too legal. I mean, wow, how do you get up there? That's a rigid, old-fashioned person. So we're in a new place now. And it's such a strange place that the scripture says in Genesis, in the beginning, God made them male and female. I never thought we would ever come to a time where that would be an eye-opening passage, if you know what I mean. That there is a difference. Because we live in a culture, a generation now, so far removed from the standard of God's standard of what truth is, that we're making our own truths based upon our own feelings and biases, what we want. We've drawn new lines in the sand, which opens up new things to be included in that line. And the line keeps moving further and further away from the standard of God's truth. And we're getting confused. Even the church is buying into this moved line thing. You know, when schools spend all the time that they do to teach our kids that they are merely evolved creatures, no different than the animals, how can they dare ask them to behave in class? What would make them any different than the animals when it comes to behavior? If I've got an urge, man, I'm an animal. Don't blame me. It's my nature. And so how can they do this? They don't understand that they're being irrational, unreasonable. They're the educators. So here's what happens. People become irrational when they let their emotions or their biases, their emotions, feelings, or their biases, what I want, to become the foundation upon which they make their decisions or choices or arguments. See, that becomes the foundation or the move, the engine that compels them is how I feel, what I've experienced. These kinds of things become the basis for their choices and arguments. Now, the only way to help someone who's become irrational is to continue to point them to what is true. We've got to continue to take them back to what is true. Because the irrational mind keeps creating scenarios and things and throws emotions and feelings and everything else into it. They grow up and they think, well, I don't feel like a girl because I don't have this, what I would imagine being a beautiful girl body, and people have made fun of me, and so maybe I feel like a guy. Maybe I'd be less ridiculed if I were a guy. And these things feed into the psyche of a person. From a young age, we hear things, and it does damage. And we can become irrational, not thinking clearly. Standing on ground that is not truth, but based upon our own experiences or feelings, our own biases, things we want. We want to believe this. We want that to be true. And then we become irrational and we cannot hear. Well, the Pharisees actually had no interest in what was true. They were looking for anything that would make them right or prove them right. The only way to help someone who's irrational is just to keep pointing them to truth. Leave it in God's hands. Look what they say when the man who was healed, after he speaks the truth, he said, the truth is that no one could do this if God is with him. So he gave a truth, right? Look, he did this. No one can do this unless God's with him, but they're still going, I'm going to have to check the books. I'm going to have to check the books. We got to see the books. They're not listening. They're trying to point to anything that will be an excuse. Verse 34 says this, they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sin. And are you teaching us? And they cast him out. That was the end of the argument. They gave him truth, or he gave them truth. Hey, look, here's the bottom line. The guy's got to be from the Lord. No one can do this. It's never been done. And it was well put for a blind man who's been a beggar his whole life, not trained as a teacher. And that offended them because he got him. And so instead, get out. You're just a sinner. Get out. We're the trained ones. It's kind of what they're saying. We handle the scriptures. So another reason that some just won't believe is that people can be inflexible. They're not going to bend. They're not going to change. They got all the excuses. They got all the arguments. They keep pushing the lines or pushing things down the hill as far as the decision is concerned. But they're just not going to do anything. They're inflexible. When someone is inflexible, it doesn't matter what you say, what proof is presented, they won't move. They won't listen. In fact, I don't know that they can. They've taken such a loud position where they're at, they can't hear truth when it comes in. They're only listening for what will give them some reason not to believe or to doubt or to poke holes. It really boils down to a matter of the will. It really does. They're not willing to hear. It's not that they can't. They won't. No one will go to hell because they were duped by ceremony I loved it so much. Oh, how could you send me to hell for loving that stuff? I just loved it. And it misled me. Or, no one will go to hell because they were so cautiously skeptical. Lord, there were some things, I had people take advantage of me, and it was hard. And my father, they told me about a father, it was hard for me to rationalize all of this, so it was very hard. God's able to deal with that person too. Or letting their emotions get the best of them so that they're completely irrational. No one will go to hell because that was their case, that was their scenario. People go to hell because they're not willing to believe the truth. It's that straight up. Here's the truth of God's word. You're out of alignment, not it. And people will not go. Then I must reevaluate here. It's like the Pharisees, what they do is, no, I'm holding on to this. I like what you're saying. It's true, but I cannot let go of this. And therefore, when it comes to truth, if you don't let go of that to embrace truth, you don't have the truth. The truth is not in you, the scripture says. So, because they're not willing to believe the truth, what they do is people, because of their will, they allow religion or emotions or poor reasoning to take them where they really want to go. You see, we end up lost or not believing or in a place where we can make an excuse for ourselves because we want to be there. It's like, you know, what draws a child to someone? Remember, don't take candy from a stranger. You know, hey, here's some candy. Well, what draws the child? I want the candy. So there are certain things that draw us. A woman decides, I need love and affection, and I need a group that loves me. And so she gets involved with this Bible study of this group. And man, they are awesome, over the top. Man, this man is so charismatic. He's awesome. Well, what she doesn't realize in 4 years is she's going to be his fifth wife. The other four are still his wives. And she's in some cult now because she got what she wanted. This is what I'm longing for. This is what I'm looking for. Well, I didn't expect all of this. I didn't want all of this stuff. But I chased what I wanted, and it got me off course. Let me give you another scenario. There's a party. And a woman goes to a party. As a Christian, she's got the conviction of the Lord not to go to the party, but she goes to the party, and something happens to her. She gets taken advantage of, maybe raped. Now, I'm not saying it's her fault. Please understand that clearly. It's the actions of those who did that. They shouldn't do that. They shouldn't have done that. That's sin and is condemnable. However, she didn't have to be in that situation either. See, God will speak to our hearts and keep us out of scenarios where we end up in trouble. So you don't blame her, but there's some decision making on her side. That has to be considered too. Don't put yourself in the situation. Those who violate the full extent of the law. She was there, but that gives them no right to do anything, even if alcohol is involved. But as far as she is concerned, what was she doing there? There was something she wanted. There's a guy she liked. Maybe it was to go have fun. Maybe it was to hang with the popular people. You know, that's where the popular people are going to be. I'm going to go over there and put myself in that situation so I can be in that environment. But what they didn't expect, maybe didn't even want, was what would happen after that.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.